in the Old Testament, right after 1 and 2 Kings, you'll find 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. There's a little book, it's only 92 pages in length. I've got it in my hand up here. Little tiny book. I mean, look at it. There's not much to it, really. It's just a little tiny book, and it has taken the Christian community by storm. This little book's called The Prayer of Jabez, and the subtitle is called Breaking Through to the Blessed Life. And, you know, I was reading in the Orlando Sentinel about the fact that this was a New York Times bestseller. It was on the New York Times bestseller list. It's just become wildly popular. I mean, if you've ever been to the Christian bookstore, I'm sure you've seen it. And according to the Sentinel, it says the so-called Prayer of Jabez has become something of a sacred cow in the world of popular spirituality. And that book is based on two verses of Scripture tucked away in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. It's about a very little known, obscure man in the Bible called Jabez. And it's recorded that Jabez prayed a prayer and God chose to answer that prayer. And here in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, it says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." You know, according to the little book here called The Prayer of Jabez, it's so popular in Christianity today, that little prayer that I just read, that little one-verse prayer, he says is the key that will unlock the door to the blessings of God in your life. And if you repeat that prayer on a regular basis, that prayer right there of Jabez, that it holds the secret to power and abundance. And like I said, this book's calling like wildfire. You know, it's interesting, in case you don't know this, that in 1975, the guy that wrote this, Bruce Wilkinson, he made his first attempt to publish this book in 1975, but 26 years ago, there were no takers. No publisher wanted it. No publisher would even touch it. Now, 26 years later, not only is the book sold like crazy, millions, but there are a whole line of products, Jabez products. There are Jabez t-shirts, Jabez hats, Jabez videos, Jabez cassettes, a Jabez book for women, a Jabez book for children, and on until me and Bill were kidding around one day, they're probably going to have a Jabez juice that you can drink, you know. And, you know, drink the famous elixir that Jabez drank when he prayed his prayer, you know. And it's amazing how they've marketed this thing, and really it has caught on. You know, I read the book in its entirety. It didn't take long. It's just 92 pages. And you know what? I am absolutely sure that this guy's motives were probably very pure, very clean, very honest. But I have to tell you that the book grossly misapplies this text. And he arrives at some very unscriptural conclusions. And here's how he does it. He spiritualizes this text. And what I mean by that is it isn't taken in its literal historical setting. But rather, he spiritualizes and allegorizes it. And then he invents meanings that were never intended by the biblical author. Then what he does is, after he's spiritualized it and allegorized it the way he wants to, then he sprinkles that with exciting testimonies, and then it, of course, packages it very nicely and has sold it, and people have just bought it hook, line, and sinker. And the basic premise of that book is that the author has repeated this prayer. I'm sorry, guys, I got that way down. Let me move that back up. The author has repeated this prayer that we read there in verse 10, for 30 years. And in essence, it's brought him very good luck throughout most of his adult life. And therefore, he challenges other Christians to repeat this prayer every morning. He encourages you, write it out, tape it in your Bible, start repeating this prayer for your family, your friends, for your church, etc. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at this little prayer in the Bible. And we're going to see exactly what it does teach us. But tonight, I thought it was important that we examine from the Bible this concept of repetitive prayer. Are we ever told to repeat a specific prayer? Is there any certain prayer that you can pray that will unlock the power of God in your life, as we're told in this book, the Prayer of Jabez? And so tonight, I thought, because really the whole premise of the book is you got to repeat this prayer, I thought, you know, that's a good starting place. Let's look in the Bible, okay, and let's just see what the Bible says about this subject. I want to answer just two questions tonight. It's not going to be a long message at all. Number one, did Jesus ever teach us to repeat a certain prayer? Now, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6 to Jesus' public earthly ministry. This is Jesus' earthly ministry. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us some instruction here about prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. He says here, "But when you pray, use not vain what? Repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now here, Jesus refutes the idea of taking someone else's prayer and just repeating it over and over and over again. Now right after he makes this statement, Jesus gives his disciples a model prayer. Look with me at verse 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, all of you know that prayer, most of you. They call it the Lord's Prayer. But actually, the Lord's Prayer is over in John chapter 20 or 19. It's actually not, this isn't actually the Lord's Prayer. This is really a model prayer. And hey, did you know that there is no indication that our Savior ever intended this to be a prayer of repetition? Did you know there's no evidence of that? There's no evidence that he ever intended this to be a prayer of repetition. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, we never find Jesus ever in a 3.5-year ministry. Never did Jesus ever lead his disciples in a recitation of this prayer. Never one time in the Bible do you ever see Jesus leading his disciples and saying, okay, repeat this prayer with me. Never. And consider the fact that we find no mention of this model prayer in the New Testament church. You know, the book of Acts covers several years of the beginning of the church. All those early years. Never in the early church in the book of Acts do you ever see them repeating that prayer. Nowhere in any of the epistles that Paul wrote, Peter wrote. Again, you never see it mentioned. You never are commanded to do that. Clearly, Jesus Christ never intended this to be a prayer that to be repeated verbatim, word for word. It was a model prayer. It's just what he said. It's a model prayer. It was an example. Okay? The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. They did not say, "Lord, give us a prayer. God, give us a prayer to pray." No, they didn't ask for a prayer to pray. They said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And that's exactly what he did. And he gave them a model prayer, a model, an example. Nowhere are we instructed to take a certain prayer and pray it over and over and over again. In fact, God does not even provide us. Think about this one. I was thinking about this thought. God never even provides us a specific sinner's prayer to pray for salvation. Think about that. Now, if there's anything that you think that God would lay out and say, these are the words to say. If you want to be saved, you want to go to heaven, these are the words you say. You would think if there's any prayer God was going to give us to pray verbatim, it would be the sinner's prayer. He doesn't even do that. God never gives us a specific sinner's prayer and says, this is the prayer you must pray to be saved. Doesn't do that. Why? Why? I mean, it would have been very simple if Jesus would have just said, okay, here's the prayer, pray it every day. Or, you know, here's how you pray to get saved, pray this prayer and you'll be saved. You know why God doesn't give us, though, you know, a prayer and say, repeat this prayer? Because prayer should come from the heart, not from a piece of paper. Amen. Prayer is supposed to come from our heart. Now, certainly we are, now listen, we are never, ever, ever, ever in this whole book, from Genesis to Revelation, you are never told to pray the prayer of Jabez. Never told to do it. There's not one command in the Bible that commands you to pray that prayer. Jesus Christ in His 3.5-year ministry never mentioned that prayer. I mean, the way that this thing has been built up, you would think that when the disciples went and said, Lord, teach us how to pray, you would think from reading this book that Jesus said, oh guys, let me tell you about this little prayer tucked away back in Chronicles. It's called the prayer of Jabez. And man, let me tell you something, guys. This is the key to your prayer life. You know, you would think Jesus said that to him. Jesus never mentioned the prayer in His whole 3.5-year ministry on earth. Did you know that David, in 150 Psalms, never one time does he ever mention the prayer of Jabez. Paul wrote 13 books to the church, to us. Never one time in 13 books to the church does he ever mention that prayer. Nor did any other writer in the entire Bible. It's never, ever mentioned again in the whole Bible. It's a historical fact that's recorded, but it's one of hundreds of prayers of people in the Bible. You understand there's hundreds of prayers of saints in the Bible. We've got prayers recorded by Paul. We've got prayers recorded by Jesus. We've got prayers that were recorded by the disciples. We've got prayers that were recorded that were prayers of Abraham, that were prayers of Moses, that were prayers of... You know, we've got prayers... We've got hundreds of prayers in the Bible. Never one time are we ever... It's never mentioned in the whole Bible other than those little two verses. And we're never, ever told to repeat it and make it a model for our prayer life. So, I want you to, first of all, understand this question. Did Jesus ever teach us to repeat a certain prayer? Yes or no? No. Now the next question is this. Does the Bible teach us that there's a certain prayer formula by which we can obtain what we want from God? And the answer to that is absolutely not. But we are told in this little book, I read it, and we are told, quote, the prayer of Jabez is guaranteed to release the blessings of God. We are told that that little prayer, that one verse prayer, is a brilliant but little understood strategy for sustaining a blessed life. We are told that, quote, each of Jabez's requests can release something miraculous in your life. We are told that the prayer of Jabez, quote, distills God's powerful will for your future. In fact, he even goes as far as to say, this prayer, if you pray it and repeat it, and repeat this thing, he tells you to do it for 30 days and then, you know, whatever. But if you repeat this prayer, he said it will set off such a cycle of blessings that we'll probably end up saying, it's too much! Hold back your blessings! I don't want any more blessings! And you'll feel so blessed that you'll stop praying for more blessings. Now, what does he base all those? Those are some pretty big promises, aren't they? I mean, he makes some gigantic promises. What does he base those promises on? Does he base them on the Scriptures? Does he base all those promises on the biblical examples of men and women in the Bible? No. Does he take us through and show us, okay, here, see, David prayed this prayer. See, Abraham prayed this prayer. See, Jesus prayed this prayer. See, and go through and systematically show us in the Word of God and back up all these promises he makes by going to the Scriptures. No, here's what he says. He says, how do I know that this prayer will significantly impact you? Quote, because of my experience and the testimony of hundreds of others around the world. Now, if you're a discerning Christian, if you are a discerning believer, right away, warnings and whistles should be going off in your mind. What a shame, though, that so many Christians just... they just swallow it up. No discernment, no bells and whistles. Folks, listen. Our faith and our belief is not rooted in some man's experience. Our faith and our belief is not rooted in testimonies. I don't care how many hundreds it may be. Our faith isn't rooted in people's abstract testimonies and experiences. You know what our faith and belief is rooted in? It's rooted in the Scripture. And Scripture nowhere promises all these things that He promises in that book. It never makes those promises that He promises. So what does God teach us about prayer? Well, is there a certain little prayer formula, whether it be that prayer or some other prayer? Is there a little prayer formula whereby we can attain what we desire from God? Well, let's look and see what the Bible says when God writes to the church, to us, to the church. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at about three passages here that will show you what God tells us about this thing. What does God tell church-age saints? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and I'm going to be preaching on this in depth here in the next few weeks as we go through Philippians. But in Philippians 4, 6, he says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't worry. He says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, I want you to notice that he says, everything in our life we should take to Him in prayer. Now, what's the promise if we take everything to God in prayer? Does God promise me that if I take everything to Him in prayer, does God ever promise me that I'll get everything I request? No, He said, let your requests be made known, and then look at the promise in verse 7. And the what? Peace of God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we're promised inward peace, but we're never promised that we're going to get everything we ask for. Look at Romans chapter 8. Go back to Romans. Book of Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, our sicknesses, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I want you to right away understand something. According to this verse, we are weak. We have infirmities. We are suffering and sickness, and our infirmities can cloud our thinking. And so, the Bible tells us here that we lack full knowledge and understanding. Is there anybody in here that understands everything God does? No. Do we lack the understanding and all the wisdom of God? Yeah, we lack that. Do we always know what's best for us? No. So you know what the Bible says? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And then look at verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Ah, here we go. According to the what? The will of God. So God doesn't always give us what we want, but rather, as a loving Father, He gives us what we need. You know, I was reading an article somebody handed me out of the Orlando Sentinel, and this guy made this statement. He said, the point of prayer, and this, by the way, this article is kind of refuting also the prayer of Jabez. I just got it right before the service. And he says, the point of prayer is not to tell God what you want, but to hear from God what you need. It's not approaching God with our demands, but listening for God's commands. It's not about seeking our will, but prayer is all about discerning God's will. And then he said, this is so important to understand in a culture that caters to our every whim. He ends it by saying, prayer is not about me. It's about God. It's about God's plan for my life. Look at 2 Corinthians. Right after Romans, you got 1 and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look what the Bible says here. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. It says, "And lest I should be exalted," Paul says, "lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." I'm in verse 7. the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He said, I prayed about this thorn in my flesh three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, notice what Christ said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities. That's sicknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. You know why he took pleasure in those things? Look at the end of the verse. For when I am weak, then am I what? Strong. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think the problem here with Paul, he besought the Lord three times for this thorn in the flesh. A lot of people believe it may have been his eyesight. He was partially blind. And the Lord did not answer his prayer. And then Paul turns around and says, you know what? But I've learned to rejoice in infirmities and weaknesses. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Do you think maybe Paul's prayer is that he'd never heard of the prayer of Jabez? I mean, I'm a little sarcastic, but you understand it, you know, in good humor. That do you think that if Paul would have prayed the prayer of Jabez, that he could have experienced miracles and released God's power and wouldn't have experienced those things? Let me tell you something. I don't know of any man that had the power of God more on his life than Paul did. You know what Paul found out? The power of God wasn't by getting everything he wanted and all that. Paul found out that it was through his infirmities that Christ's power rested upon him. It wasn't through a little prayer formula that God's power was released. Paul says, through my infirmities, God's power is upon me. You know, when we consider that, it's kind of preposterous when we're told in that little book, quote, I want to teach you how to pray a daring prayer that God always answers. In fact, thousands of believers who are applying its truths are seeing miracles happen on a regular basis. Now, folks, I'm going to admit to you, that sounds very, very appealing. Doesn't it not? Does that not sound appealing? Do you understand why this has caught on and why what I'm preaching isn't real popular today? And do you understand why that's so popular? Do you understand why that's so appealing? I do. Pray a simple prayer, repeat it over and over again, and presto chango, guaranteed blessings galore. But folks, I love you enough to tell you, that's not biblical. It's just not biblical. You don't pray this little prayer formula and presto chango, blessings galore. You know, there's nothing that people like today better than a quick fix. And that's why if I can read a little book that takes me about 15 minutes to read, and if they can give me a little prayer to repeat, and if I can, you know, everybody wants a quick fix wonder cure for whatever ails them. I mean, have you ever been in cities, and I don't know if they let them do it in Daytona. I've been in cities like Tampa. Have you ever seen cities where they got these little signs posted all over the city? Lose 30 pounds in 30 days. You know? Have you ever seen them little pills advertised on television? They promise to absorb so much fat that you'll be able to eat anything you want and still lose weight. People eat that stuff up. You know, have you ever seen it? Weekend seminars pledge to heal broken marriages. You know, one weekend is all, you know, heal all your marriage problems. Some guy who's gone bankrupt twice, he promises to teach us how to become millionaires buying real estate. All for just a few hours of time and only $495. And really, honestly, Brother Wilkinson, and I do believe he's a brother, He's caught that wave. He's caught that wave in our society. Give me something simple. Give me a quick fix. Give me something that's not going to require too much, but I can get what I want. He's caught that wave, see, in our society. You know what we want today? We want spirituality. We want blessings from God, and we want them in a hurry. But can I tell you something? It doesn't work that way. You know what I preached this morning? About growing as a Christian, it takes some effort, doesn't it? If you want to grow and you want to know Christ more and if you want to experience God's power working through you, it's going to cost you something. It's going to be some sacrifice. If we're going to walk in His will, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take setting aside time to fervently pray and seek God's face. It's going to take studying His Word. It's going to take being in fellowship with the saints of God. It's going to take seeking to live a holy and a pure life before God. There are no shortcuts to living a victorious Christian life. There are no magic little prayers to repeat. God says, exercise thyself unto godliness. And what that word exercise means is literally, it means toil. It means sweat. God is calling for some spiritual sweat. He's calling for some commitment to Him. He's calling for some commitment to His Word. He's calling for some commitment to daily prayer, and not just repeating a prayer, but seeking His face fervently in prayer. God is calling for us to faithfully implement spiritual habits in our life daily. And as we day after day and year after year, as we do what we're supposed to do and strive to live a holy life and keep moving up that mountain of spiritual growth and keep seeking to know Christ and keep seeking to live a holy life, you know what we'll find? God's power will work through us. But there's no presto change-o magic prayer to pray. So the answer to my question, is there a certain little prayer formula by which we can obtain what we want from God? What's the answer? No. No, there's not. It sounds great, but unfortunately, it's just not biblical. And so, what does the Bible teach about repetitive prayer? Well, hopefully now tonight you understand these concepts and these principles. And next week, I hope you'll be back because I'm going to answer this question. What does the prayer of Jabez mean to us today? What does it mean to us? What is the true historical, literal meaning of that prayer? Next week, I'm going to show you from the Word of God. So.